Previously on Rolling on Fate.
Dear Archmage Trillia, I hope this finds you well. I'm leaving tomorrow with this group of adventurers, for lack of a better word. The small, enthusiastic one, Amesley, I believe is her name. She seems like someone we can trust, along with Shyvana's father, Taylor. I am less sure about this Marian kind, and Fionnuala, well, is a real mystery. The elf, Peleus, is a bit of a jester. But altogether, I think this group can help us achieve our aims. As for that zealot from the Church of the Rift, good riddance is all I can say. He could have put our work in serious jeopardy. As for my own history with the Church of the Rift, well, you know my motivations. Overall, I think our goals align with the goals of the party. They want to find the necromancer who's been opening the rifts, and we want to learn more about those rifts. I will work closely with this group, but if there's any threat to our work as research mages, fear not. I will not hesitate to value that work above camaraderie. Our mission is of utmost importance. Without the data, we cannot hope to find closure in our decades of work. Returning to adventuring will be quite the change for me. You know I haven't left the tower in as many years, but I do remember some things from my youth. I hope the rhythms of camp life and the open road come back to me. I think they will, even after all these years. Who knows, maybe I'll even get to see some of my old haunts. Wouldn't that be a trip down memory lane? We shall be in touch. Yours, most sincerely, Nordred.
This is Beth, and I play Amesley.
Hey, this is Jacob, and I'm everyone's third favorite sea elf, Peleus the Lucky.
My name is Kit, and I play Taylor Grangers.
I'm Aaron, and I play Nortrude the Research Mage.
I'm Garrett, and I'll be playing Marian Kine.
I'm Jen, and I play Fionnuala.
And I'm Matt, your DM.
You guys are still staying at the Lavender Pillow. You wake up bright and early in the morning. Head off to the Mage Towers. You have... Oh, are you bringing anybody with you, by the way?
Who else is awake? Ames is not going to turn away people if they want to join her.
I'm awake. I sleep only like 4 hours.
Okay. She's going to bring along Fionnuala then.
Yay!
So, I'm going to go pick up this the studying ball thing. Do you want to join me?
Sure. Peleus, do you want to come too? The Mage Tower is super cool.
Oh, I love... breaking into Mage Towers. Yeah.
Are we breaking in? I look at Amesley.
Everywhere I go, I'm breaking in, so.
It's a good question. Why are you in my room?
So you want to join?
Yeah.
I'm always up for adventure, ladies. Let's go.
All right, let's do this thing.
The three of you head out from the Lavender Pillow through the gates to the Middle District, and then you approach the guards at the Upper District.
And we have the paperwork that lets us go through.
I assume you flash them the paperwork.
I'm just pointing at it, smiling.
Even though they're heavily eyeing the bundle of rags and the other very cloaked figure. And you guys walk through without real incident. And you head to the Mage Tower. Again, you walk in through the doors. Somebody is there to greet you. You tell them where you're going. You take the elevator up, and up on the top floor, you can already see Nortrude.
Ames waves very excitedly.
There's a few other of the, you know, busy workers around, but she seems to be alone, and she has the device, and it looks like she's currently putting it back together.
Ames eagerly runs up to her.
Okay, so you got this, good, it's in working order then? It's gonna have the message spell activated, and we can make sure that everything's working correctly?
Ah, yes, absolutely.
Oh, it's so exciting!
Excellent, good. I'm glad you're excited. I'm sure we'll find ways to research the rifts with this.
Okay, so, how'd you make it work?
That's a good question, Matt. How did we make it work?
You imbued the spell sending, which will basically, whenever you hit a certain button, will take all the data that has been stored in the device and send it over in a very highly cryptic code to a beacon that you have now set up inside the Mage Tower.
Am I allowed to look at any of the tech that is currently installed?
Well, we need to package the device for transport, and I'm almost done with that, and really sometimes it takes a while to be able to pack it up again, so we'll look at it later. We will need to perform some field tests at some point, though, so that's when you'll get to examine it. So the answer is no, you can't look at it right now.
All right, I understand. Can I look at it when we're on the road?
Well, yes, once we find a stopping point. The device can be used on the fly, shall we say. But for the first time, I would like you to perhaps not be walking or running when you're using it.
That's fair. I understand.
Although it is quite durable, but we don't want to put it through more field tests than necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Although at this point, well, my fellow mages have helped outfit me for this expedition, because I don't think I've left my tower in about 20 years. So I may need some assistance with carrying this and some of my other gear, because I have this tent thing, they tell me.
Are you coming with us?
Yes. Did I not tell you that? I should have mentioned that. Yes, I am leaving my tower, and I'm coming with you.
Oh, well, welcome.
Cool.
Thank you. What were your names again? Finny?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm Angely. I go by Ames.
I'm
nice to re-meet you.
Nice to re-meet you, Amesley. And Finula. I will do my best to remember.
And there's a third figure there.
Yes, sort of. It's great that you always forget about me. I'm Peleus. It's a pleasure to meet you. I just call this one Noodle, and I call that one Small.
I'm a bundle of rags.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Noodle. I get it.
Mm-hmm. I nod like I totally know what the joke is.
It's okay. We're kind of silly sometimes.
Well, yes. I will get used to it. I have been known to make a joke or two.
Right.
In the last decade.
Well, hopefully we'll have decades that you can joke around with.
Good God, not decades.
There are a lot of riffs.
How long is this quest thing? Do we have a timeline?
I don't think we have a timeline. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, I think I will need someone to carry my tent, because I will be carrying the device.
I can do that.
Great. Perfect. Delegation.
Don't you have so much stuff already?
Yeah, and when you look at Ames, she has more. She's carrying more stuff than what she weighs. She's like currently carrying. I think on your character sheet it says you're carrying 105 pounds
it
worth of stuff.
It definitely says that.
And you weigh like 50 pounds or something.
I weigh so little.
I'm carrying like a one small bag.
It's just full of Ames carrots.
Ames just
too,
pretty much
so.
Grabs everything and is absolutely 100% okay with carrying things, and it does never work out for her.
So Nortrude looks up from how she's packing her pack and looks very skeptical.
And Ames beams at you.
Are you sure?
Sure, what do you need? I can help.
Well, I mean, I guess we could. No, I will carry this for now. I will let you know when I get tired.
Okay, all right, just let me know. We got some nice, strong people in our group, so.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't bring any of them here today, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
You're all strong in your own way.
Oh, thanks, mysterious voice in the sky.
That's sweet.
At least you won't have to carry it for when we get on the road, because we have a cart and two horses. I look at Peleus because I forgot.
Oh!
Last I checked, we had two.
And celery.
Oh, yes, of course. Celery, who could forget?
Is celery a food?
No.
Yes.
Or is celery the name of the horse?
She's an elk, but yes.
Oh, I get it. My apologies.
She like totally gets it. She's like, what? No. She's like, who am I traveling with?
So are you carrying around the ball now, or am I carrying the ball?
Oh, I'm carrying the ball.
Okay.
Ames is like, I'll take your tent and the ball. You let me carry the ball.
Ames is willing. It's just whether or not she's able.
You guys leave the Mage Tower and back at the tavern, and the rest of the party is there downstairs, minus the glowing guy in robes. And you're all just finishing up breakfast, and Marion, Taylor, I think that's it. You two were left alone. And you now see the mage, basically, that you were talking to yesterday. Now seems like she's got an adventuring pack and is following the rest of your party into the Lavender Pillow.
Does she look roadworthy? Like, is she wearing, like, slippers or shoes? Or, like, I mean, does she look ready for leaving Revelhein?
Can I look through her bag and see if she is prepared for the travel?
Yes, Nortrude has been outfitted by her fellow mages, and she has sensible shoes for walking and some supplies that they told her how to use, and presumably she'll be able to use them. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. So she is ready to travel.
Okay, well, I rolled a 17, if that matters for anything.
Aaron, can you describe what your staff looks like?
Yes, it is fairly nondescript. It is wooden. There are a few markings carved on it, but besides that, it is nothing to make note of.
It just looks like sort of like a normal wooden stick, kind of. Yeah, and then she has a pack, and there's a bunch of things in there. It's actually really well made. It looks like it hasn't seen any wear and tear yet, but it looks like it will be sturdy. And it's filled with various other items and a bunch of little pockets, and not that you can really see, but it looks like there's things within her robes, I assume.
Yes.
And that's kind of all that you get from that investigation check.
Okay, then Ames will give you a thumbs up, and that will be it.
Nortrude awkwardly extends her hand and points her thumb up.
So if we're all here, does that mean we're gonna get out of this godforsaken city?
I like your city.
Well, I mean, we have some things we could do, or I guess we could just leave and come back another time. We have that contact that's this evening. We might be able to get some information from them, unless we think we're ready to go on the road.
I am all for getting away from this dense mess of people, so I have nothing else that I need to do in town.
I look at everybody else.
I've got one errand that I gotta run.
Well, I'm in no grand hurry to stay in the city any longer. I don't particularly care for it, and if we're going on some adventure with our new mage friends here, I'd say we should get on the road.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick visit over to see a half-orc friend. He should be Ulrith? Available.
If you're going to go see Ulrith, I will come along. If we can see him on the way out of town, I would like to say goodbye.
Sure, that sounds great.
So is that our plan, that we're going to make our way out of Revelhein and go see Ulrith on the way to the gate?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Matt, where did we keep our horses and stuff?
It's at the Palor Church.
Okay, we just have to go grab celery and our other mounts and stuff.
You guys are all going together to the Middle District, and is everybody going to see Ulrith?
Yes.
Yes, I am intrigued by this mention of a half-orc.
He's, yeah, all legs.
Nortrude, have you ever been to the Second District? You mentioned, I don't know.
So I haven't left the tower for 20 years, besides my daily fitness walks, but I don't go very far then. So no, I have not been.
Oh, well, welcome.
Thank you. The outside world is a new thing.
It's a lot dirtier down here, too, so get ready.
Well, some of us shower or bathe.
I bathe. It's the rest of this town that I don't think's had a bath since the last time it rained.
When was the last time it rained?
About 3 weeks ago.
We have a ripe city on our hands. Taylor covers his face as he opens the door to go outside.
All right, so you guys head through the second tier district, and Taylor, you know that you can find Ulrith at his shop, leather working shop that we had.
Yep.
For him. You lead the entire party there, and again, you guys open the door. There's a little bell above the door. As you walk in, you guys are just sort of like blasted with the smell of leather, and all the walls are covered in various leather worked stuff, whether that's armor or saddles. And there's a long wooden counter in front of you, and behind that counter, you actually see Ulrith.
Hi, sure.
Oh, hello. Raccoon, you've come back and brought the party, I see.
Yeah, we're on our way out of Revelhain, so we wanted to say goodbye before we left and, you know, tell you that we'll be coming back, so you won't be missing me for another 20 years.
That sounds grand. What about that job that we've talked about?
We are still considering it, but, well, my small companion here had a question for you before we left, and I have a feeling it might be concerning that job, but I'm still trying to get them around to taking on the risk. Going down to, well, accomplish the task you set out for us in Ridgemont is it's a big ask, so I haven't gotten everyone on board yet.
I was wondering if I could take a look at the outline of the building so that I could see about what the best method of access would be.
Sure. I got a small map in the back. Let me be right back. And he walks back, then he comes back out. He's got this old-looking parchment, and he brings it up on top of the counter, and he sort of, like, unfolds it. I assume that you guys are gathering close to look at the map.
Yes, Ainsley is definitely doing that.
Mm-hmm. I go and look close, too.
And you see, basically, a crude sketch of what looks to be the prison of Ridgemount. And Ulrith says, every prisoner has a specific job that they do all the time. They, you know, the one task for one person. And these include harvesting in the Two Suns Rift. And he points on the map, and you can see on the north side of the jail blocks, in the very center of that, there's a rift that's sort of like sketched in that says Two Suns. And on the right of that, there's like a building that's labeled bakery. And on the left of that, there's a building that's labeled kitchen. But then all around that rift, there's just like a building, and it's all labeled jail blocks. Then he keeps saying, you know, you could be a miner, a logger, a harvester, you know, everybody has their own job within the rift. And then working outside the rift, there's people that work in the bakery, the kitchen, the forges, a lumber mill, or just making thing in the warehouses. And then he points down to sort of the south end of the prison, and you can see tons and tons of buildings that are just labeled like warehouse 1, warehouse 2, forge 1, forge 2. And there's like 20 different buildings that are labeled this way. There's also an area that says sort of main offices, but then all around this area, it's also like enclosed by a bunch of jail block cells. And in the very center of this, in between all of the warehouses and forges and stuff, you see a gray realm rift that's also been labeled.
So I look at Ulrith.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Ulrith? And then Fenula asks, so is the Two Suns Rift only have prisoners working in it? Is that what this rift is about?
The prisoners are the only ones that are working in it, but then they have guards that are watching them. Not that anyone could get far in the Two Suns Rift, because, I mean, they have to come out every single night anyways. But they still have guards that watch them inside and outside the rift at all times.
Is this the only Two Suns Rift that's in existence then?
No, this is outside of character. You know that there's one inside of Revelhain as well. You guys walked past it as you were walking into the town. The Two Suns Rift is the harvesting rift. So there, as you know of now, there's one in Ridgemont, which is just prisoner-based, and then there's a second one in Revelhain, which is just the general populace.
So if there's a rift in Revelhain too, then can't prisoners escape that way?
You don't know too much about the Two Suns Rift, I see. And he gives a glance over at Taylor, and he sort of nods to you. So every night in the Two Suns Rift, this is something that nobody knows why it happens. There are these attacks. There's these wraiths that come out and attack anyone that's inside of it. But it only happens at nighttime. And dusk is fine, and dawn is also fine. It's just only when it's pure black. So that's why everybody has to leave the Two Suns Rift, and that's why there's so many housing in the lower district here. Otherwise, you know, people would just build housing in the Two Suns Rift because it's easier. But it's the same thing for the Ridgemont Two Suns Rift, and that's why there's so many jail cell blocks, because they still have to sleep at nighttime. And they don't work at night, well, at least not in the Two Suns Rift. Over in the warehouses, they work 24/7. They keep those forges burning, always. But as you can see, the guards aren't really too worried about prisoners trying to go away from the Two Suns Rift for too far, because at nighttime, they'll just die. So, we don't even know, or I don't even know if anyone knows if you can actually get from one of the Two Suns Rift to the other. I don't know if, you know, those Rift mages up there have figured out distance of travel.
I glance at Ortrud.
Do you know where in this prison she's being held?
That is a good question. So the last that we knew about Zethy, she was working as a harvester in the Two Suns Rift. And, we think that, you know, she was just working the fields, pulling up crops and planting them and all that kind of stuff. I will say that the Grey Realm Rift is heavily guarded, and there's a guard post all along the walls watching what happens inside the prison at all times. So that may make it a little bit complicated, but Zethy is just in the northern part of the prison where there's a Two Suns Rift. So, like I said before, we have two contacts, men of our own, that are prison guards there, and they live within the town of Ridgemont. And you can meet with them beforehand and see if they have any.
They're going to help me out with the guard rotations, right?
Yeah, they will have all of that information. They may have more information about how to get in, how to get out, or other ways. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are very capable of doing. The one thing that I do know is there's sort of some main offices and a guard post all around the southern part of the prison that's guarded all the time. But on the north side of the prison, they don't really guard like the Two Suns Rift or the kitchen or bakery at nighttime. They just assume that everyone's just going to be sleeping. So I don't know if you can use that to your advantage, but I mean, they still have guards that sort of walk the jail cells, but they don't have as heavy watch there at nighttime as they do on the southern portion.
Wouldn't that be the most likely time for people to escape?
Well,
that's a very good information. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, they don't really expect that. I don't think there's a record of, at least known to the populace, about anyone escaping Ridgemont. Ridgemont. That's how you say it.
Thank you, Ulrith, for all the information, as usual. Hopefully we will be feeling a bit more up to the task when we come back from, well, another assignment that we received since coming to Revelhein.
All right. Well, just let me know. You don't have to let me know. I mean, these guards.
Well, you didn't really give us their names or a sign, or I figured we would need to talk to you a bit more about that.
Do you not want their names? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not really. I don't think we're heading out to possibly do this right now, but we're heading towards Ridgemont, but I don't think we're going all the way there.
You never know. We should probably get their names, right?
Okay. Yeah, what are their names?
Okay.
Oh, dang. Maybe we should go back to to Revelhein to ask. Too bad they don't tell us.
What were their names again? As we're standing in Ridgemont by the rift.
Yeah.
So, their names are Chase and Alyssa. And you can find them. You're going to go down sort of the main lane of Ridgemont, and then you're going to take a right on Mulberry Lane, it's called. I think that's what it is. They have weird names. And they're going to be sort of the sixth house down on the right. Yeah, you'll be able to find him there. I think they primarily work day shifts, so you should be able to find them in the afternoon or, yeah. I wouldn't just go barging down their door, because, you know, they are armed and dangerous people. They are guards.
But we're very good at, like, just barking down people's doors.
Yeah, very good.
Is there some sort of code word we need to know?
No. We didn't really come that far with this. I'm sure if you get inside of their, in, you know, somehow get yourself inside their house and explain the situation, they'll know who you are. Just name me. And, I mean, they may know Taylor. I don't actually know if they know you, Taylor. I know you've been around the block a while, but, yeah. You guys will be fine. You just name my name, explain what you're doing. It'll be good.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, do you have any hats? I'm looking for something that, I mean, maybe would help the rain not get in my face.
Like a leather hat?
Yeah.
Is there any cowboy hat flying around?
You can see this hat rack. And
oh, perfect.
It has...
I'm going to go try on like 4 or 5 different hats.
Cool. I mean, pretty much any hat that's made out of leather that you can think of is there. Yeah, my wife took on that project of making all those hats. I'm not one for, you know, making hats and all. But, yeah, choose whatever you want. It's on me, Taylor.
Aw, that's
It's
sweet.
On me now. You have to add that to my character art.
Yeah, there's like some cowboy hats. There's a fedora. There's just sort of like a leather skull cap. There's
cowboy. He said
cowboy. 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 It is. You choose how the cowboy hat looks.
Okay.
There's like 5 different kinds there.
Pirate hat.
There is pirate hats there. There's not like a big giant.
Is there a tricorn?
Yeah, there's a tricorn, that's for sure.
There's so much variety. I'm going to actually go with the tricorn hat.
Cool.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you as always, Ulrith. I will hopefully be back to see you soon, and if Jonathan ends up in town, well, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but he might look you up, so.
Yeah, I'll look out for him. I sent him some money to help him on his way, so hopefully he'll be fine.
We go out.
Okay, and you guys leave.
Hello, and welcome to the intermission of episode 14. Thanks so much to our new patron, Hannah. If you're also interested in helping support our creativeness and gain access to some sweet bonus content, you can head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/rollingonfate. With the money, we are slowly upgrading our equipment, and you'll be hearing those improvements soon. If you really enjoy what you're hearing, please go give us a review on the iTunes podcast app. Just like Bro Coat for Life, or BR Coat for Life. Thanks for that stellar review. All of your reviews mean so much in helping us grow the podcast. Thanks all for listening, and the next episode will be up Wednesday, August 6th. Now, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Head over to the Paylor Church. Does anyone else want to do anything before then?
Possible. I'd like to just give my dad a quick hug before I leave.
Ainsley heads over there, and she'll meet you guys at the Paylor Church. So you head back the very familiar route that you know to your old home. Your home. It's still your home.
My home.
And
this is where I live.
Do you go through the back door or the front door?
Yes, back door. No, she doesn't want to cause any trouble.
Cool. Yeah, you know the very specific lock and key to get in, and you open the door. Connor is there working on his workbench. Seems to be working on that Warforged.
Hi.
Hi, Ames.
Hey, I just wanted to... we're heading out soon, so I just wanted to say goodbye. we're going to be checking out some rifts and maybe doing some other things, and I'm not entirely sure exactly what we're going to be doing, but we're going to be looking at things and exploring the world, so, and that's what you wanted me to do, so hi, bye.
He has a very melancholy smile on his face. Ames, I'm happy that you've found an additional part to our family, and that you're going to be exploring. I know we've already said goodbye several times, but every time it's hard.
You're always going to be the one that I'm going to be the most sad to say goodbye to. So, I don't like saying this, but I will see you again.
He smiles. There's a tear in his eye, and he walks over to you and bends down to give you a big ol' hug. I'll miss you, Ames.
I'll see you again.
Be the bright star that this world needs.
I hope that I can just, you know, make it the world that you want it to be.
He smiles down at you. And you leave. You know that stables are basically on the side of the church, so the rest of the party can just go straight to the stables or whatever.
Yeah, I run to the stables and go hug Celery.
Okay, because you haven't seen her in like 5 days.
I give her all the carrots that are kind of going bad.
And I'll go tend to the cart and see if Nortrude would help me with packing up for departure.
Yes, I will help with that.
Do you think feeding an elk 20 carrots are going to make her sick?
Depends on how fast you do it.
I think it might make her thick.
Her thick.
I would like to walk in and speak to the high priest.
You head to High Herald Nothar, and he's easily found in his sort of office study. So I think that is where you're headed.
High Herald?
You hear a response to the door.
Come in. I will enter the room.
You enter, and the High Herald is there. He's leaning over the map, looking worried or stressed as usual. And he looks up and sees you. Marion. Yes, how can I help you?
I was just letting you know that we're headed back out. You may hear a few things that are going to happen, but I think ultimately it will be for the benefit of the church.
You sound a bit vague. Can you enlighten me a little bit?
We are going to instigate a prison break at Ridgemount.
And this is to benefit us how?
So that we properly ally ourselves with those who would do good in the world. People who can help us beyond our normal purview. We need help. Badly help. And we can get it from the resistance. They can do things for us in ways that we cannot, and respond to such threats as we see fit if we ally ourselves with them.
Marion, I don't think I need to tell you this, but you are treading on dangerous grounds here. I know that, well, the Palor Church does not see eye to eye with the Revelhein government, but they are still powerful. I would not make a scene if you can.
We will do our best, but we should not live in fear of our own government. And I'm going to work to see that that changes.
All right. Marion, any, new word on this necromancer that you told me about? Any relation to the rifts?
He has appeared in all three of the other places that rifts have occurred.
How do you know this?
We received some information when we were visiting the Mage Tower, pertinent to our investigation. I have also borrowed some tomes from the magic user Claudia, who has the shop in the Middle District, regarding that as well. It is my intention to read these documents and or pass them off to Shay to further help our investigation to see what the nature of his magic is, and possibly even if he exists in old records.
how did you learn this information? How, I mean, he attacked you once. How do you know that they're all connected?
We think he may be involved in the opening of the rift, so we can't prove anything. The way and the location in which these rifts may be opening are concerning, and we believe may involve him. There's another rift that opened up in the mountains behind Ridgemont, so we are going to hopefully head that direction.
A new rift, you say? What kind of rift?
It seems to be connected in some way to the ethereal. They said that there were spectral creatures and stuff that emerged from it.
Ethereal, you say? Hmm.
Supposedly. When they were discussing it, I had been distracted by other revelations and things that were occurring.
I see. Do you have anything else for me, Marion?
No. I just wanted to make sure that you were forewarned in case you needed to make any arrangements as to news that you may hear going forward.
Well, safe travels then, Marion. Hopefully you can find out more about this necromancer and report back here. We'll keep an ear out for any new accounts now that we know what we're looking for.
Thank you. May the light align our paths again soon.
You leave and head back to stables, and the rest of the party is now gathered there.
Is everything that we left here, you know, still looking like it's in serviceable condition for the road? I mean, we had talked about going cross-country, if I recall, when we were considering going to this rift because it would be faster than having to go by road. So is that, I mean, is there a way that I can maybe try to recall if we could take a cart cross country the way we're heading, or is that a little too much of an ask, Matt?
As far as traveling across land to head to the mountains near Ridgemont?
With the cart.
Yeah, with the cart. You know, especially you, Taylor, since you've like traveled around a lot, you could travel through the forested area of Revelhine pretty easily. And then when you get to the mountains, though, they're more than just hills. And yeah, you probably know that there's probably some sort of path. It's not like the greatest path, so you don't know if a two abreast horses and cart can go up the pathway, but you're not going to be traveling fast with the cart through the forest.
Okay. Yeah, I guess then I think that we'll be okay taking the cart as well on this trip. And if the path ahead of us gets too difficult for the cart, we can always hide it in the bushes and come back for it.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Nortrude, are you comfortable with going cross-country?
Well, yes, of course. I may not look it.
Your athletic walks up for, that level of intensity?
Well, I may not have gone far in the last 20 years, but I did have somewhat of a life before the Mage Tower.
Maybe you can tell me about that when we're, getting to know each other for the next few days.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to know you.
You guys go ahead and get your three horses plus elk and start moving out. It's still pretty early in the morning. It's still only about like 10 o'clock in the morning, and you guys set out. You guys travel for the rest of the day, and there is a lot of traffic coming out and back in of Revelhine. It seems like this road between Revelhine and Lathis is traveled a lot more rather than in between Revelhine and Landrin. So you pass by probably like 100 different groups of people, since you're so close to Revelhine, before the day is out. And nothing strange comes to your attention as you go along the route, just sort of like normal townsfolk that are moving back and forth. And you come, and it's almost about sunset, and you can see the bridge to cross the river, and there's sort of a general campsite area that a lot of people take, it seems, that's right here next to the river.
Is it vacant?
Currently it is vacant, yes. There's several different campsites around. Some of them have been taken. There is one that is right next to sort of the river that is not taken, though.
I trot up with Celery and ask everyone in the wagon if they want to sleep now. I guess the horses might be tired, right?
Yeah, because basically right after you guys cross this bridge, you're taking a 90-degree angle down to the forest. So this is like the last part of main road that you're going to be on.
Do people want to stop here?
I think it's fair to say if people want to stop for the night, this is as good a place as any.
Yeah, I feel like this is a wonderful time to catch up on some rest and make a plan for the morning.
Sounds good to me.
Yes, B and I would very much like a rest.
All right, you guys get out, start setting up camp. You have a meal by the fire. You water the horses in the stream that's there.
By the way, I cast mage armor when it gets dusk time.
Okay. Taylor, because of your such high passive perception, you kind of see, like, the moment that she were to, like, cast the spell. It's very easy for her to do it. She just does it in passing. But you just kind of see, like, the elongated shadows of, like, the trees and stuff go towards Fenula and sort of make up the new sheen that's around her.
I kind of do a double take, but just kind of write it off as another interesting thing about Fenula that I've learned. But I kind of keep an eye on it just to see if it happens again.
It lasts for 8 hours.
Yeah, so it's probably not going to happen again. I try to just stay occupied with, you know, setting up camp and making sure we're like, we have a good eye on who's coming up and down the road, because I assume we're right next to the bridge, so.
Yeah, you're pretty close to the bridge. You can see people that cross the bridge. Nortrude, I'm wondering if you're setting up your tent or not.
Yes, I am starting to set up the tent.
Okay.
I hope it's a magical mansion tent like in Harry Potter.
It's the TARDIS.
But minus the smell of cats.
Yeah. It's like the high quality tent, not the Weasley one.
So I'm taking it out of the bag and sort of fumbling with these poles. I'm not sure exactly what they're made of, but they snap together. And I'm setting it up. And there's a little bit of grass on the side, so I brush it off carefully. And then look around at everyone next to me and see if they're watching me or not.
Fenula's petting celery and giving her the rest of the carrots and not paying attention.
Ames loves you. She's going to be watching you.
Taylor sees all.
Yes. You guys see this sort of small looking canvas tent. It's basically like a one person backpacker's tent. It's only about like 4 feet tall, like with the poles, but this sort of like canvas tarp that just covers all of it. And it has this double flap in front of it. And that's what you see.
So it's like a normal tent?
Ames is going to try to immediately help out.
Taylor walks over towards the tent and just rolls out a blanket on the ground. Because he really doesn't have anything fancy. And just kind of looks at the tent and is like, it looks pretty comfortable. Home away from home.
In a sense, it is. So then while Nortrude is leaning forward to finish putting the last stake in to make sure that the little cover in front of the door is staked out, her hair moves a little bit and a tiny blur darts out from under it and hops inside the tent. And it is a chipmunk-shaped blur.
Okay, Ames is going to try to help you get your tent as secure as possible.
Amesley, while you're doing that, can you give me just a perception check?
Okay, I rolled a 12.
Okay, you get a strange feeling from the tent, like it's more than it seems, but that's all that you get from that.
Okay.
As you guys sort of start bedding down, and after you've eaten your food, you watch Nortrude just casually upright walk into her tent, and she just sort of like disappears into it. I say it that way because it's a very small tent, and she's not, like, bending down to, like, crouch into it.
So does her head, like, disappear above the tent?
No, she, like, just ducks a little bit, but it doesn't look like she's preemptively lying down to go in, you know, like you would for, like a small little backpacking tent. Yeah, it looks like she's just walks in.
It totally is a Harry Potter tent.